Welcome to the Big Sky Astrology Podcast with your host, astrologer and author, April Elliott Kent.
Hello, invisible friend. April here, and the date today is March 25th, 2024. Welcome to episode 227 of the Big Sky Astrology Podcast. This week, there is almost nothing happening other than the opening salvo in this eclipse season, the full moon lunar eclipse on March 25th at 12 midnight Pacific time. So this episode is basically going to be one big moon report. The week begins with the moon report and the Libra full moon lunar eclipse on March 25th at 12 midnight Pacific time at 5 degrees 7 minutes Libra. This is the second Libra eclipse since last October 14th's solar eclipse at 21 degrees 7 minutes Libra. There's only going to be one more Libra eclipse in this series. That'll be on October 2nd this year. Eclipses motivate us to move from the south node to the north node. And that process takes place over 18 months with eclipses every 6 months in one sign of a polarity or the other. Eclipses like this one that fall near the moon's south node encourage us to let go of old, unhelpful patterns. While eclipses have been in Aries and Libra beginning in April 2023, and they'll be in these signs through March 2025, the North Node eclipses have emphasized the need for independence and courage, the Aries qualities of the North Node. While the South Node eclipses shake us out of situations where we've grown a little too reliant on others, lunar eclipses always have an impact on relationships because they happen at a full moon when the sun and moon are in opposition to each other. But it's especially the case at this lunar eclipse because it's in Libra, a sign of relating. This eclipse shows where we have been hanging on a little too tightly to our relationships with others, maybe even getting a little codependent, and where we need to let go of that habit so that we can move forward towards the independence represented by the North Node in Aries. I think it's always helpful with eclipses to not only look at the house of your chart where the eclipse point falls, in this case 5 degrees 7 minutes Libra, and also the planets that are being aspected within 4 degrees of a conjunction, square, or opposition, but also to look back at previous years when eclipses were near this same eclipse point. In recent memory, these include a lunar eclipse on March 23rd, 2016, at 3 degrees 17 minutes Libra, and back on March 24th, 1997, at 3 degrees 35 minutes Libra. It might be helpful to you to go back to those periods of time to remember what was happening in your life, whether there were themes that joined those particular years together, and most importantly, whether you can see some connection to what's going on in your life today, and especially regarding relationships. The Sabian symbol for the moon is 6 Libra, ideal of a man, abundantly crystallized. And the sun is on 6 Aries, a square brightly lighted on one side. One way to interpret that symbol for the moon might be that your mind could be set on a particular ideal of what you think is perfect. But the sun symbol highlights a particular side of the story that you may have overlooked. Maybe you have in mind, for instance, a particular image of the ideal partner, And maybe you haven't been able to find this partner, or the partner that you have doesn't measure up in some way to this ideal that you hold dear. This is part of what's being illuminated and awakened at this lunar eclipse, that perfection doesn't exist when it comes to relationship. And it's good to have standards and to know yourself well enough to know who belongs in your life and who doesn't. But you're never going to get perfection. And there comes a point where we have to be willing to reassess our ideals. The sun is on that funny degree, 6 Aries, a square brightly lighted on one side. And what I make of that is that there is one part of this perfect square that keeps catching your eye because it alone is lit up. It could be that the imperfect person ends up being far better for you than the image that you've been carrying around in your head. This is the full moon in a lunar phase family cycle that began on September 25th, 2022. With a new moon at 2 degrees 48 minutes Libra. What is it that was conceived or intended at that time that is now fully and brightly illuminated? The first quarter in this phase was on June 26, 2023, when there was an action of some kind that needed to be taken in response to that new moon. And the last quarter moon in this series comes on December 22nd, 2024, when there is one final decisive action that will need to be taken in order to bring this particular cycle and story to fruition. Let's look at the void of course moon periods for this week. On March 26th, the moon in Libra opposes Mercury in Aries. At 4:09 p.m. Pacific time, it's void of course for about 10 hours before it enters Scorpio on March 27th at 2:03 a.m. Opposition aspects bring an awareness. The awareness possible here is that there is a need to balance getting along with others against the need to speak our minds without apology. It's not always comfortable to stand up for what we feel strongly about, but it is sometimes very important that we do so for our own sense of integrity. This is a void of course moon period to consciously work on giving up the habit of being a people pleaser, of going along with others more than you really should. And instead to try to consciously cultivate new habits of being more forthright. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to fight with people. But sometimes the kindest thing to do is to be very truthful. On March 29th, the moon in Scorpio trines Neptune at 8:40 a.m. Pacific time. It's void, of course, for just about 4 1/4 hours. And then enter Sagittarius at 12:52 p.m. Trine aspects indicate rewards. The reward here is that if you've been cautious about getting close to others, as Moon in Scorpio sometimes is, this means that when you do get close to someone, you can feel safe to really give your all to the person and the relationship. You can only really trust someone if they've shown you over a period of time that they deserve that trust. And this trine to Neptune says that there is somebody in your circle who has earned that trust. And on March 31st, the moon in Sagittarius squares Neptune at 5:16 p.m. Pacific time. It's void, of course, for just under 4 hours and then enters Capricorn at 9:05 p.m. Square aspects bring a challenge. And the challenge here is between Sagittarius's optimism and adventurousness and trust in the world, versus a certain sadness, a little bit of melancholy that comes from Neptune that is usually about the sadness of letting go in order to move forward toward a bright and optimistic future. During this void of course moon, it's worth taking a look at where in your life you have chosen holding on instead of moving forward on a delightful path. This week, I'm offering you a mini lesson about lunar eclipses as relationship guides. At a lunar eclipse, the sun and moon are in opposition, because this always happens at a full moon. This is an aspect that reveals us to ourselves, especially through our personal interactions. The March 25th lunar eclipse at 5 degrees 7 minutes Libra reflects the degree to which we are able to offer ourselves fully in mature, responsible, and mutually respectful relationships. If you aren't in a romantic relationship or you're in one that isn't going well, eclipses might mark times when you find a romance or you end one. But what if you're in a romantic relationship and it's going just fine? Your relationship may come through these eclipses intact and strong, with only a few long delayed adjustments. But if something in your birth chart is being aspected by this eclipse and the eclipse coming up on April 8th, and especially if they're impacting sensitive relationship areas in your chart, such as the first or seventh houses, or Venus, Mars, the Sun, or Moon, you may well find that your happy relationship isn't quite as secure or happy as you might have thought. But on the other hand, romantic partnerships are just a part of the story. They're just the ones that we tend to be very obsessed about. But there are so many other relationships in our lives that do not involve romance at all. And even so, the upcoming eclipses say something about the ordinary human connections among family members, friends, colleagues, the person you spoke with in line at the supermarket. So I thought I would go through these sign polarities that are impacted by this eclipse and the one on April 8th. And what they might say about the kind of relationships in your life that are due for a change. If you have the sun or ascendant, especially in your chart near 5 degrees and 7 minutes of Aries and Libra, well, you are likely to be experiencing these critical transitions in romantic partnerships, very close friendships, or business collaborations. You might begin a new relationship. You might leave one that isn't working out. You might make important changes in an ongoing relationship. This is an eclipse that really requires you to take a long look at the way you've been presenting yourself, how well you've been taking care of yourself, and how effectively you're balancing your own needs with those of the people closest to you. If you're born with the sun or ascendant near 5 degrees and 7 minutes of Taurus or Scorpio, this particular lunar eclipse will tend to impact relationships with your coworkers, with people who are in charge of your personal care, especially health care, service animals, spiritual advisors, hidden enemies, and those with whom you have what I'll call an unequal relationship. So, for example, employees, or the people that you admire, but they don't necessarily admire you in return. If you're born with the sun or ascendant near 5 degrees 7 minutes of Gemini or Sagittarius, the relationships that are likely to be most impacted for you at this eclipse involve friends, associates, and soulmates, including creative and political allies, your children and pets, those with whom you share love or at least attraction at first sight, fans of your creative work, and fellow members of a community or an organization. If your sun or ascendant are near 5 degrees, 7 minutes of Cancer or Capricorn, this eclipse kind of suggests that there will be changes in your home and your heart and in your career direction. Where are you coming from and where are you headed? Relationships that are going to be especially subject to crisis, to big change, and examination are those between parents and children, between bosses and employees, and any relationship in which one person has more status than the other. If you were born with the sun or ascendant in Leo and Aquarius, the relationships most likely to be impacted by this eclipse include the ones with your neighbors, siblings, teachers, clergy, and people from foreign or unfamiliar backgrounds. These are relationships that help us define ourselves in relation to our immediate environment, as well as within a larger philosophical context. And if you were born with the sun or ascendant near 5 degrees, 7 minutes of Virgo or Pisces, this is where things get kind of sexy, because the relationships that are most likely to be impacted by these eclipses are those that involve your earnings, your possessions, security, shared resources, and physical or psychological intimacy. So this can include your therapist, your financial manager, and the person who shares your bed. How about the houses of the horoscope and how they are influenced by this particular eclipse? Well, houses of the horoscope represent where things are taking place, so it's a subtle difference from the signs of the zodiac. But if Libra and Aries occupy the first and seventh houses of your chart, then this is very likely a time you will see a change in relationship status. And sometimes this comes from a change in how you regard yourself. Very often, if someone's made a big step in their life and they're feeling good about themselves, which is kind of a first house phenomenon, relationships change. Either a new person comes along that suits this new sense of self, or perhaps someone leaves your life for the same reason. And in an existing relationship that is basically strong, this might just mean that your partner has to adjust to the new way you're being in the world. And this can work in the opposite direction as well. Maybe your partner is going through some dynamic changes, and it means you have to adjust your behavior. Now, funnily enough, these can be times when you see relocation if there's an eclipse in one of these houses. Because the first house symbolizes the front door of your life. The first house is also a house of the unfamiliar and the unexpected, where we find ourselves in new circumstances. So that could be happening to you at this eclipse as well. Maybe you've moved to a new city. Maybe you've gotten married or divorced. Maybe you've changed your career in some significant way, and now you find yourself at the beginning of an entirely new story in your life. If Libra and Aries fall across the second and eighth houses of your chart, eclipses in the second house do speak to how secure we feel, how confident we are in ourselves, how much we value ourselves. It is about our earning power, so your income could be impacted by a raise or a job change. Eclipses falling in the eighth house talk about the support that you feel you have in your life to make the changes you might want to make. This can be an important time psychologically, where you're reviewing things that have been holding you back, and you might want to go through some kind of therapeutic process to help you navigate that and get ready to share who you are and what you have with somebody else in a meaningful relationship. If Libra and Aries fall across the third and ninth houses of your chart, this could be an eclipse that makes you realize the kind of education you need to have to pursue something that feels exciting to you. Eclipses in the ninth house very often stimulate us to want to move in a really new and bold direction towards something that we've never done, but we've always been really interested in. So the third house part of that is that we might find that we need pieces of paper that say we're eligible to do this new thing, or skills that need to be brushed off or acquired. So this can be an important eclipse period in the educational part of your life. There can also be critical moments in your relationships with your siblings, your neighbors, your teachers, people whom you teach or learn from, and people in your environment that you connect with more or less daily. If Libra and Aries fall across the fourth and tenth houses of your chart, this is a really common setup for relocation. Sometimes it has to do with getting a new job because that's the 10th house part of it. So let's say you get a new job and it means that you have to travel to a new state, even a new country. Or the reverse is true and you have decided that you want to move, but you're not happy where you are, but that means you need to find a career in the new place where you've moved. Now, family members, and in particular, your mother and father, are symbolized by the fourth and the tenth houses. So we can expect to see some kind of new information coming in those areas of your life as well. Eclipses will often bring us some kind of upsetting experience to get us to move from one direction to another. If an eclipse falls in the fifth house, sometimes you feel rejected or overlooked for your creative efforts. You might also have issues with your children or with your pet. You might meet somebody very suddenly and feel a strong soulmate type of connection with them, and maybe that lasts, and maybe it doesn't. With an eclipse falling in the 11th house of your chart, you might fall out of step with your friends. Perhaps one or the other of you has moved to a new stage of life, maybe getting married, having children, and now you're no longer really simpatico in the way that you once were. And if eclipses in Libra and Aries are falling across the 6th and 12th houses of your chart, then often what's under review is your day-to-day life and also how you find respite from that day-to-day life. The sixth house is what you do every day when you get up. What's the timeline? And do you go to a job? Do you work at home? Do you clean your house? What do you do? Most of our lives, frankly, are spent in the sixth house where we're doing the same things each day in roughly the same way. When an eclipse falls in the sixth house, your daily life is upset, is disrupted in some way. And again, it's to kind of wake you up and make you do things in a new way. The 12th house part of this eclipse cycle is about needing more time to yourself and needing those experiences in life that feel transcendent, where we remind ourselves that there is more to life than just those day-to-day activities. So I hope that that is helpful. I do think this Libra lunar eclipse can be pretty impactful in our relationships. And in a couple of weeks, I'll talk to you about that big solar eclipse in Aries. I will return next week to answering listener questions. I have a few in the queue, but if you have one that you would like me to answer on a future episode, please leave a voicemail message of 1 minute or less at speakpipe.com/bigskyastrologypodcast, or you can email your question to me at april@bigskyastrology.com, and please be sure to put podcast question in the subject line. Well, that is everything I had on my show sheet, so I'm going to wrap this one up. Thank you for listening to the Big Sky Astrology Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, please be sure to subscribe or follow the show in your app of choice. Leave a rating or a review, and I hope that you'll spread the word by telling an astrology-loving friend about the podcast. You can read show notes and full transcripts and leave your comments about each episode at bigskyastropod.com. Thanks very much to everyone who's shown support for the podcast, including during my September Podathon. On each episode, I'm thanking some of my financial donors by name. This week, let's give a Big Sky Astrology Podcast shout out to new donor Jennifer News and Elizabeth Orr. Jennifer and Elizabeth, thank you so much for listening to the podcast and for supporting the show with your donations. If you'd like to support the show and receive access to my bonus episodes at the equinoxes and solstices, including the most recent episode for the Aries equinox, please go to bigskyastropod.com, where you can make a contribution of $10 or more and get those episodes. You can make a one-time donation in any amount or become an ongoing monthly contributor, which is a great way to show your support. That is it for this episode. Join me again bright and early next Monday, and until then, keep your feet on the ground and your eyes on the stars.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about April Elliott Kent, visit her website, bigskyastrology.com, where you can sign up for her newsletter, read her thoughtful essays, find out more about her books and classes, or book a personal astrology reading. That's all for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please take a moment to follow or subscribe to stay current with new episodes. And please leave a rating or review. You can follow Big Sky Astrology on Facebook or Twitter and Big Sky Astrology April on Instagram. Thanks again for being here, and we hope you'll join us next time.